Chapter 35. Shinri 6. They chose for Shinri a very pretty cell. In fact, confronted by the lush carpets, fine wardrobe, and lavish meals, Shinri found she could almost ignore the armed guards outside her door. She had little success in guessing the identity of her captors. Though the options were limited, so was her information. The most obvious choice was her own cousin, Tal Shekh Davar. He supposedly had an army camped just outside Vaden City, and simple logic concluded that he probably held the throne as well. However, there was one great flaw in that supposition. As far as she knew, Tal Shekh had no reason for wishing her captured. The other houses made far more likely culprits, for any of them might think to use her for her lineage, imprisoning her in some desperate attempt to gain leverage over Tal Shekh. If that were the case, however, her captors had made a grave mistake. Shinri had only met Tal Shekh twice, and both times he had given her little notice. She was a distant cousin. He would not be warded off by her imprisonment, especially since his goal was the throne itself. Yet the days of her captivity passed without either threat or release. If House Vaidenel held her, it did not try and use her in a bargain. And if Tal Shekh did have an army outside the city, it did not attack. She cursed her tiny, slit-like windows. Though the palace was on a hill, it was only a single story, and the city walls blocked most of her view. Peer as she might, she couldn't make out the glyphs on the cloaks of the wall-top guardsmen. She only knew that they were white, which meant that one of the three houses at least held the city. There was, of course, a third option. Tethryn had tried to kill King Elokar. House Rhaenar obviously had plots of its own. She couldn't imagine what sequence of events could have given them control of Vaden City, let alone allowed them to stave off Tal Shekh's armies, but she couldn't discount the possibility that she was in their hands. In fact, she couldn't discount much of anything. She spent her 3 days of imprisonment in apprehensive self-debate. As the hours trickled past, she grew increasingly anxious. The pain of ignorance was even more potent than her anger at being held captive. Just when she thought she would burst from frustration, she finally received a visit from her captor. It was not someone she had even bothered to consider. "Father?" she asked with surprise, as the man walked in. Ilhadal Davar was a stern, well-groomed man of short stature. He had been past his prime in Shinri's youth, and the years had only made his aging more evident. Like most Vaden noblemen, he thought himself a soldier, but he bore none of the pragmatism that usually came with the profession. Ever worried about what others thought of him, Ilhadal was a man with too little imagination to support his potent ambition. Still, Shinri hadn't thought he would keep his own daughter captive. "Perhaps he somehow earned passage," Shinri thought optimistically. "And he's come simply because he was worried about me. Not that he ever has worried about me before." Ilhadal gave her one of his characteristically unsympathetic glances. If there was any measure of concern in his eyes, she couldn't find it. "Sit," he said, pointing to a stool. Shinri did as commanded, waiting to play her hand until she had more information. Ilhadal raised an eyebrow, as if surprised to see her following orders. He strode forward, broad white cloak set with the thick mane-like collar that her people preferred. He walked a full circle around the stool, studying her and rubbing his bearded chin. "The Kolin woman does good work," he finally said. "I half expected you to throw a tantrum when I walked in, no matter what my informants told me about your progress." Shinri raised her chin, staring her father in the face. "Lady Yasna is a woman of impeccable composure, father. I have learned much under her guidance." Ilhadal grunted. He did not sit, but remained standing, arms folded, regarding her with the eye of a tradesman at market. Why would he keep me in here? Shinri thought, furiously trying to put her aforementioned learning to use. He obviously has some measure of authority in the palace. The guards treated him respectfully as they let him in. His blood ties to Tal Shekh are as weak as mine, but perhaps he has managed to make himself an advisor to the man. That doesn't explain why either would give orders for me to be kept under guard. Why would he lock her up? Two conclusions came to mind. Either he expected her to try and escape the city, or he expected others to try and get to her. The first was possible. He obviously still regarded her somewhat as the impetuous child of her youth. The second didn't seem very likely at all. Even considering her wardship, she was no one of any great import.
You know, he said, I blessed the Almighty when the house leaders asked me if I would give you to Alethkar as part of the treaty. Until that moment, I had been convinced that you would never be of any good to me. Yet because of the treaty, I could be rid of you and serve the house at the same time.
He paused, eyeing her.
Never in all my imaginations did I think that I might get yet another chance to use you.
Shinri frowned.
Your wardship is over, Ilhadal said, turning toward the door. Your stepmother has exercised her right of decision. Attendants will be sent to prepare you for the ceremony.
Only years of training beneath Yasna let Shinri shake off her shock quickly enough to speak before he left. Who, Shinri? You have to find out who. Tal Shekh? She guessed. He was unmarried now. The death of his wife had been part of what set off his determination to take the throne. Ilhadal paused, then smiled, shaking his head.
No, Shinri, he said, as if slightly confused himself. Tal Shekh is dead. I lead House Devar now.
You? Shinri asked. But you were 14th in line for the house title.
I know, he said. There have been many casualties recently.
Shinri studied him, quelling her horror. Her father had always been an ambitious man, but not that kind of ambitious. He was the pandering courtier, the lesser nobleman who thrived on the barest bit of recognition from his superiors. He was mildly clever, true, but he was not a plotter or an assassin. Or at least, he hadn't been.
I see it in your eyes, Shinri, he said from near the doorway. I see it in everyone's eyes. Facts have made the truth irrelevant, it appears. Regardless of the means, I was placed in the difficult position of thinking I must kill my king in order to serve my country. Fortunately, another option presented itself. I can only hope that history will judge me for what I have done, and not for what others assume was my hand.
Another option presented itself. It took Shinri only a few moments to work out the answer. Him? She asked with shock. I'm to be married to the idiot king? Ilhadal nodded.
Not so much an idiot any longer, it seems. Perhaps never one at all. The king has undergone something of a transformation. The common people are already convinced it was the Almighty's work. The nobility are more skeptical, but I suppose we always are.
The idiot king. For so long she had assumed herself for no one but Tethryn, she hadn't really considered what his death meant for her future. Of course she would have to be married to another. A woman's power came from her husband's rank. Even if her father hadn't become first prince of House Devar, her fostering to Lady Yasna would have made her a prized marriage. But Aven Vaidenal? Her father's words about a transformation made no sense. Had someone trained Aven to act less foolish? But Even if that were so, he would still have the mind of a child. What kind of marriage was that? Yasna's training whispered that it was a very good one. Shinri would be one of the most powerful women in Yakaved. Her father the prince of one house, her husband the prince of another, and king of all three. Avan's mental weakness would be a small problem, one she could use to her advantage. She would have a great deal of freedom, and even power, assuming she could gain some measure of control over him. The Shinri side of her, however, the piece that Yasna hadn't ever been able to train away, wanted to scream in horror at the idea. She glanced around covertly for something to break or unravel, eventually choosing a nearby plant from which she could pluck a few leaves. "When?" Shinri asked, crumpling a crisp leaf in her hand, feeling the sap wet her palm.
"Soon," her father promised, knocking for the guards to open her door.
"Wait," she said, standing. "Can I at least leave? Why must you keep me here like a prisoner? What do you fear, father?" He glanced back at her, then stepped out and waved for the guards to shut the door.